Celia, the day is November 25th, 2020.
Querida Celia, the day is, December 23rd. Today's December 23rd. Happy Merry Christmas Eve. Right? So I graduate in 4 days. The day today is May 18th, 2021.
The day is June 2nd, 2021. The day is February 15th, and it is 1:43 a.m.
I hope that when you listen to this, estoy super lista.
Y va a ser muy divertido. Okay, that's all.
Love you, bye.
Today is October 19th. Wait, today is Wednesday, October 19th, 2022. And it is currently 12:35 a.m. because I was going to take this week off. But then I got a really good idea that I want to share with you guys. And this is going to be a very meaningful podcast. I mean, they're all pretty meaningful. But I think we all have moments that we think back on and wish they had gone differently. I should have done this or said that or left or stayed or whatever it is. I remember when I was first starting to fall in love with poetry. There was a specific book whose excerpts kept showing up on my Pinterest feed. Reading them always felt like they knocked the wind out of me. And I don't remember the exact title now, as it's been years since I've seen one of the excerpts. But the premise was that they were letters that the person never sent. Words that were left unspoken. I'm always afraid to leave something unsaid. Because who knows what could happen later today, or tomorrow, or next week, or a year from now. However, there have also been so many moments that I swallow my words. Times where I've swallowed my words until I could barely stomach myself. Now, this episode isn't meant to be things I wish I had said to one specific person or anything like that. It's more so the idea that so often there are things we feel the need to hide. There are good things that we leave unsaid, like when you start to have a crush and you could tell them that you like them, but instead you don't. Because there's fear there, right? The fear that you could embarrass yourself by telling someone you feel so deeply for them, just to find out they might not give a single care about you. Now, there are also bad things that we leave unsaid, like when you let someone disrespect you so often that you start to accept it as right. There's guilt there. The guilt that we had a responsibility to stand up for ourselves, but didn't. Or better yet, we felt that we couldn't. It's not easy to form thoughts and feelings into words, and so often we find it hard to really convey our emotions in a way that someone else will understand fully. We accept bad things because we think we deserve them. And there are so many instances when I should have said, "You are disrespecting me. Because you are projecting the way you feel about yourself, and I will not stand to be your emotional punching bag. I'm leaving, and you're never gonna see me again. And one day, when you find me on the internet, and see me thriving and happy and doing everything you thought I couldn't, I hope you look away. Because this happiness, this version of me, isn't meant to be perceived by you." I'm going to start to sound like a broken record, honestly, but I'm an overthinker. Always have been, and probably always will be, if we're being honest. But I'm also so courageously honest. My poems show everything about me. They're raw and rhymy and really freaking painful to write, but also cathartic and ethereal. Everything about me that feels so incredibly right. In a way, they're all the words I should have said, but didn't. I was afraid. Those silly little poems have made me be so honest with myself, and in consequence, so honest with everyone that's around me. I'm not afraid to be who I am because I say exactly what I think. And just like I'm able to say it to 100,000 people that happen to be following me for some reason that I'm very grateful for, but... In the same way that I can share my poem with you guys, I can call my family and share it with them. I can, you know, show people that are in my life, and it's all the same to me, and I think that's really cool. But I know for a fact that if I was to be put in the same situations today that I was put in 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, I would behave completely differently. And some would say that that's the definition of growth. But growth comes with time. It is too often that we feel the need to pave over past versions of ourselves. We say all the harsh things people have said to or about us. But growth doesn't work that way. If you put cement over a plant, it will never grow. However, if you take care of it, give it water, give it time, let it be outside in the sun, play it music, show it excitement when it does something as simple as growing, you can see how wonderfully it blossoms. You're the plant too. Don't chastise yourself for things you should have said but didn't, because you're judging a past version of yourself with a present self mindset. Growth doesn't work like that. Your past self doesn't have the same experiences that you've had. It's not the same. I should have told myself I was beautiful at 10, in the same way that I should have told myself I've always been smart and capable, that a grade doesn't determine my worth. It doesn't matter if someone else has said it to me. I should have said it to myself too, but I didn't. And the consequences lasted years. I always think about my future daughter, who I hope and pray I'll be lucky enough to meet someday. And this is gonna be super cheesy to say, but every time something bad happens in my life, I write advice to her. Everything I should have said is what I tell her to say. Now, I'm obviously not gonna share what I've told her because that's between me and my future hija, but it makes me take a step back to every situation after the fact. How would I react? What would I have done differently? What would I have said? It really brings things into a whole different perspective. It's weird to say, but sometimes giving advice to someone else about something that you're experiencing brings clarity to your situation. If you would have told your friend to dump her shitty ex when they were dating, why do you stay with yours? If you would have told your sister to apply to her dream job that's too far away, why did you delete your own application? It really makes you see things a little differently, doesn't it? Now, there's plenty that I should have said, but didn't. Because I was scared. We're all a little scared, aren't we? We're afraid to stand up for ourselves because what if things get worse? We're afraid to tell our friends they're treating us badly because we don't want them to feel bad. We're too afraid to break out of our comfort zone because we're safe here. Aren't we? We're doing all right here. Aren't we? But I used to carry everything I should have said like rocks in my pockets. They only ever hurt me. In fact, they make it harder to move on. Until I let them go. I shouted them into my writing. I told them how I felt, how I deserved better, how their smile made me melt. How I burnt that fucking letter. Not everything can be said in the moment. And that's okay. We don't need to be witty or well-spoken when someone is making your heart shatter. It's not easy to tell your friends that they make you feel like you don't matter. And if you find the courage to say what you need to say in the moment, then you're much better than me. Because it's not easy, and it takes so much courage and so much bravery to be self-aware enough to already have a future you, a future self's mindset, you know, of saying, okay, this situation, how it's currently unfolding, how I'm seeing it unfold, isn't right. And I have the courage to do something about it in this moment. You know, if someone disrespects you, it takes a lot of freaking courage to be like, hey, why are you treating me this way? That's not okay. Would you do this to somebody else? Why are you doing this to me? Like, that takes so much courage, and I think we don't speak about that enough. And yeah, it does come with maturity, and yeah, it does come with wisdom and all this other stuff. But to be able to take a step back when you're currently in the moment is honestly a gift. It really is. To be introspective and then express it outwardly instead of being reactive is something that, I really hope to be able to learn well into my life, and will hope to learn now and carry it with me well into my life. But it takes time. It takes time, and it also takes the accumulation of so many things that you realize, hey, I should have said this. I should have done this. I should have told this person, bro, I deserve better. Should have told that friend, why are you treating me this way? Should have told this person, why aren't you giving me the same grace I give you? Like all these other things. And like I said before, if you see this as what advice would you give to somebody else? What advice would you give to your very best friend? And it's the same concept of if you wouldn't say it to your best friend, why do you say it to yourself? If you would say it to your best friend of, hey, here's some really good advice, why are you not taking it? I'm literally looking at myself in the mirror, being like, bro, Celia, we know there's so many situations that you should have acted differently on. But hey, this is a present me's mindset. And honestly, a little bit of a future me's mindset, right? Because I'm thinking of like, how is this going to affect me in the future? Judging a past version of me, which I can't do. She didn't know any better. She did not know any better. I know better because I was her, because I saw the consequences of her actions. But how rude of me would it be to judge her for something that she has no idea about? She doesn't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen, but she's going to find out real soon. But there's a few poems that especially say the words I needed to get out in the moment that I wrote them. And because I'm me, let me explain what I've been talking about. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will break my confidence. Words will break my trust. Words will linger in my head until who I am becomes who I was. They say words won't make me bleed, that words won't scrape my knees, but words will make me touch rock bottom, drowning in my tears-created seas. I was a child when I first started being bullied. The words started out small, children being children. They said I wouldn't remember it, after all. But words are like tattoos, permanently engraved on my being, because words become beliefs once you're forced to start agreeing. Now that one was, when I wrote that, I think I probably just like sat in my room and cried because it was all these feelings that I had never been able to put into words, of having to do with being bullied as a child and having to do with all these memories that, you carry with you, whether you're aware of it or not. Like, even say you don't remember somebody making fun of you, right? But you have this really deep insecurity about whatever it is. Like, to give you the example, and I think I told this story in Stephanie's podcast as well, but I was bullied really badly in high school. And I don't know if a lot of people knew that or not that went to high school with me, because I didn't talk about it, to be honest. I was bullied really badly, and I never really wore makeup in high school. It just wasn't my vibe. I was like very focused on doing other stuff. Didn't even wear earrings. I was very much kind of like pick me, tomboyish girl. I grew up with my brothers mostly, and I was like, I don't know how to do makeup. I don't care, whatever. And I was getting ready for prom with some of my friends, or not getting ready for prom. One of my friends was practicing prom makeup. Because she was trying to help some other people on the day of prom. So this was the day of our senior sunset. And our high school had this tradition where we would do senior sunrise at the start of the year, where we would go see the sunrise and be like, oh my God, senior year. And then at the end of the year, close to graduation, we would do senior sunset, which our whole class would kind of like get together and go to a local park and see the sunset. So this was the day of senior sunset. And my friend and I, we hang out that day. She does my makeup. And, for once I look in the mirror and I don't hate it. I really love this makeup that she's done. And I feel really beautiful, to be honest. Like, I remember it vividly sitting in the car being like, wow, I'm kind of cute. Who is gonna tell me this? And I was very insecure about how I looked because honestly, I wasn't getting male attention. Guys didn't really talk to me. And when you're 17, that's kind of like, oh, that must mean something. Like, I must be ugly. That's not true. If you're 17 listening to this and, guys aren't noticing you, it's because it's not you. It's not you. You're wonderful, I promise. But senior sunset, I'm wearing makeup. I get there, and the group of people that had been bullying me when I get there, they, one of them looks at me, points, tells her friend to look at me, he points, and then they both burst out laughing. And I knew that it was with malintent, and I knew that they were making fun of me and the way that I looked. And, my heart kind of just sunk. And all those feelings of feeling very beautiful and feeling like for once in my life, I was seeing myself a little differently, seeing myself a little better, vanished. All those feelings completely vanished, and I could feel myself tearing up. And I just remember so badly telling myself to calm down in my head because I knew that if I started crying, my mascara was gonna run, and then they would make fun of that as well. So I didn't say anything. I didn't tell anyone at the time. Some of my friends were still friends with those people, which, red flag. If your friends are friends with people that bully you, don't be friends with them. That's something I should have said. I should have said, if you're gonna be friends with my bullies, I don't wanna be friends with you. But it's also tough when you don't have that many people that you're around, and it's so easy to blame yourself for all this crap. But that experience stayed with me so heavily, so full of impact, that I felt insecure every time I wore makeup. And the actual day of prom, when I put makeup on, when my mom did my makeup, I cried because I looked in the mirror and I was like, wow, I see what they see. They were right. I'm so ugly. And I look at pictures of myself now from prom and it breaks my heart that she thought she was ugly. I look so beautiful in those pictures. And it almost feels so disconnected to me now, right? Because it's been such a long time. So if I say like she, it's just me, but me in past version. But she was gorgeous. Like, what the fuck? Who? Why? Why? Why was, I just don't understand how at that age, at 17, some of those people just wanted to make me feel bad just to feel something. And, I didn't know any better that they were wrong. Like at that point, you just accept what people, that's what I was trying to say in this poem is, words are like tattoos. If somebody tells you something, it's not so easy to brush it off and be like, oh, whatever. And people always say that, just like, oh, brush off whatever someone tells you. It's not always that easy because if you already have an insecurity about what somebody is making fun of, it's only gonna make it worse. And that is not talked about enough. If somebody insults you on something that you're confident about, then it's like, yeah, whatever, you're wrong. I know I'm hot. But if somebody insults something that you're deeply insecure about, it's not the same. And that's why words are like tattoos permanently engraved on my being because words become beliefs once you're forced to start agreeing. Because once somebody hits something, what's the saying? Like to hit on the nail of like, to get it right, whatever the saying is. If somebody hits an insecurity, you're gonna agree with them because you already have that insecurity. And I wish I would have said to my past self back then, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Like literally, I would go back and be like, look at me. What do you think of me? And I'm a million times sure that she would be like, bro, you're gorgeous. Like, what did you do? How do you do your hair? All these things. And I'd be like, you're literally me. Why are, what's the disconnect happening here, girlfriend? And I would tell her not to listen to those people because they're wrong. Literally, they're just wrong. And I don't know if it was jealousy or hate or whatever the heck it was, but it just, I say this in every episode, but I wish I could go back and give my past self a big, humongous hug. Because, like I've said before, my earliest memory of being insecure, like deeply insecure about myself, was when I was 10. So if this happens 7 years later at 17, and it's just reinforcing all those past toxic beliefs, bro, no, that's gonna affect anybody deeply. Like, imagine, and I am so thankful that I started writing because seeing this on paper and reading it back, I'm like, whoa. Like, words won't make me bleed, words won't scrape my knees, but they'll make me touch rock bottom, drowning in my tears created seas. What the fuck? Honestly, I'm like, how? Like, 'cause that's exactly how it felt. Of people don't see it. If you're deeply hurting inside, people don't see it. And it's almost like you're drowning in your thoughts because suddenly all these insecurities are like being validated, which is always why I'm going to tell you need to surround yourself with people that bring you up. If somebody is making you feel insecure about yourself, stop being friends with them. And I know it's not always that easy because sometimes it could be a family member, right? Sometimes it could be like all these other things. But if you're able to stop being friends with someone, to stop having somebody in your life that is making you feel bad about yourself, like, honestly, yeah, it might be uncomfortable if they're your only friend and suddenly you're like, hey, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And you might get a little lonely. But trust me, it'll make you feel better than constantly being around this like negative black hole, because they're just trying to suck off all the good energy off of you. And that's also the problem with being magnetic, is you're gonna attract a lot of people that aren't good people, to be honest. So that's my little rant about that. But let's move on to the next poem, which is a little, let's just move on to the next poem. I was sweet strawberry kisses, chocolate chip pancakes for brunch, science titrated with poetry, and in my imagination, way too much. Nervous but excited, hand swallowed by my sleeve, backyard garden reading, but people somehow always leave. My room was my oasis, vine strewn on a fan, hopeful, hopeless, romantic, but in love with a fictional man. Lavender white tea scented sheets, eucalyptus essential oil scent, sometimes being too quiet, but my eyes always say exactly what I meant. Every day felt like sprinting, my eyes wanting to succumb to sleep, and I questioned myself every time, every day, would I break a promise I swore to keep? Promises to yourself are eternal. They seep into your bones. Breaking them is like swimming, but with pockets only lined with stones. I was the wick of the candle, watching it all burn away. A hopeless, hopeful romantic. What if nobody decides to stay? I was birthday cake at 2 a.m. Big comfy blankets to fall asleep. My words whispered in Spanish. The climb to my heart wasn't that steep. Now, when I wrote this poem, I was kind of going back and forth of the feeling of feeling like questioning whether you're enough for someone, because it's kind of like being all these amazing things, right? Like sweet strawberry kisses, chocolate chip pancakes for brunch. And it also included parts of my personality, like science titrated with poetry. But I was in my imagination way too much of, maybe making things up, making them seem a way that they weren't in real life. Nervous but excited, hand swallowed by my sleeve. I've always been an anxious person. Backyard garden reading, but I try to deal with it in my own way. Backyard garden reading of, I do things in a way that people don't always see them. I'm working on myself in a way that people don't get to see. But people somehow always leave. And some of these lines reading back, I'm like, holy crap. Like, I can't believe I said some of that because They're things I should have said but didn't. Things I should have said but didn't. My room was my oasis, vine strewn on a fan. Hopeful, hopeless, romantic, but in love with a fictional man. And this is like how I'm starting to build myself. My room is my safe space. I decorated in a way that made me feel safe. I started reading again because I wanted to believe in love. Lavender, white tea scented sheets, eucalyptus essential oil scent. That's what my sheets smell like. That's my favorite scent. Eucalyptus because of stress, sometimes being too quiet. I'm not really good at saying what's on my mind most of the time unless I'm writing. My eyes always say exactly what I meant though, because literally, I cannot keep a poker face. I will always be showing exactly what I feel. Every day felt like sprinting, my eyes wanting to succumb to sleep. I'm freaking tired of proving my worth. I'm tired, and I just want to sleep. And I question myself every time. Every day, would I break a promise I swore to keep? I told myself that I would protect myself at all costs. I told myself that if nobody else loved me, I would love myself. But why am I not doing that? Why have I not been doing that in the past? Because promises to myself are eternal. They seep into my bones. I can't escape them. Like any promise you make to yourself, it's gonna stay with you forever. Breaking them is like swimming, but with pockets only lined with stones. That's literally like try. No, don't try. Please don't try swimming with pockets lined with stones. But that line is to show how frustrating it is when you're trying to break out of an insecure mindset and how you're trying to be the person that you promised yourself you would be. And it's not that easy. It's like swimming, but you can't because you feel like you're drowning. I was the wick of the candle watching it all burn away. All these dreams I thought I had, all these like feelings I thought I've had, they're all burning away. A hopeless, hopeful romantic, because now it's like, what the heck is going on? I'm hopeless. What if nobody decides to stay? Like, I'm sick of proving my worth. I'm sick of seeing people just walk away. I was birthday cake at 2 a.m., big comfy blankets to fall asleep. My words whispered in Spanish. The climb to my heart wasn't that steep. It wasn't that difficult to actually be enough. And I think people always say that it's like, oh, you deserve so much better. It's like, why are you not wanting to, like, it's not, I don't understand. Like, that's such a cop-out answer of you deserve better. It's like, bro, you treat me like crap. Of course I deserve better, Anyways, that's that poem. Next poem. I would have given everything up for you. How absolutely clueless does that sound? To be so ready to change myself for someone who couldn't even stick around. I would like to say I'm sorry, but only to the me I was before. I've tried to make amends with her, but the subject's still somewhat sore. I had left her when I met you, chasing a futile fairy tale back then. I guess everything changes in hindsight. So I take my paper and grab my pen. But I don't write for you. All of those pages stay empty. I only write for her of what I wish I knew at 20. Honestly, I wish that I could go back, but only to pick her up off the floor. I wish that I could go back to tell her that love is so much more. That one's self-explanatory. The night feels so lonely. The sun has disappeared, but tonight I am myself again. The cloudy skies have cleared. I'm dancing around my room. You would have hated this song, but tonight that doesn't matter because I've waited so long. I have friends you've never met. You'd probably hate them too, but tonight that doesn't matter because tonight isn't about you. I write poetry at 1 a.m., allow my energy to shine, but none of it is yours and all of it is mine. A heart beautifully pieced together, awaiting to beat for someone new, because tonight I am myself again, and tonight I no longer love you. Self-explanatory. You're not meant to be with a person that makes you want to cry yourself to sleep. Not supposed to be friends with the people that tell you that your emotions shouldn't be that deep. We romanticize toxic behavior so much that we've forgotten how to leave, convinced ourselves that love with constant affection is almost impossible to achieve. I'm done with wanting less than I deserve. Why should I settle for a love that's good enough when I can be patient and accepting that what I want is actually really all that stupid, corny stuff? I want someone to look at me like I'm their favorite character from a book. Thanking God that I'm standing in front of them, painfully aware of just how long it took. Someone who doesn't take love for granted, who communicates openly and fair, who realizes immediately when I need him, and who makes sure to already be there. I'm not afraid to fall in love. I thrive when it comes to being a hopeless romantic. It's the opposite that scares me. The falling out in a form so incredibly gigantic. Anyone can fall in love. It's the staying in love that counts. But up until today, I've had to learn that through other people's accounts. I've seen love be caring. I've heard that it can be kind, been told that it is patient, but that love has never been mine. I used to romanticize the leaving. He'll return with flowers and a sign, a speech about how much he missed me, and everything would be just fine. But that never happens, does it? At least not for long. Heartbreak isn't a poem, and falling out of love isn't a song. I should have written this years ago, on the floor of my college dorm, when my eyes started to drown from my mind's ferocious storm. But this couldn't have been written. It takes time to understand how sometimes when you fall, I hope you get the courage to get up and stand. It was only a kiss on the bridge, only a bus ride away, too intriguing to leave, but too terrified to stay. Jokes that left scars, hidden all over my skin, a person to lose and a situation impossible to win. A heart broken twice doesn't wait for the third. You knew you were saying words better left unheard. Too scared to continue. What if love is always this way? But I keep moving forward. Here's my heart on display. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Here's to all the things I should have said but didn't. And here's to all the things I should have said that will be written. I really appreciate you guys for listening. I almost skipped this week, but I didn't because I thought this would be a really interesting topic. So hopefully you enjoyed. And as always, I hope it got you thinking of all the things that you should have said, but maybe didn't. And maybe how you would react to things differently now if you were put in the same situations. And yeah, be kind to yourselves, be kind to those around you. Love you guys a lot. Hope you're having a good day or night wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening here. Thank you so much for being on this planet. And yeah, I really appreciate you guys a lot. And it's really beautiful to see some of the feedback that you guys have been sending and that you've been liking the podcast. So yeah, thank you so much. And with that, I will see you in the next episode. Okay, bye.